different service, and it wouldn't bother me any if we had different services every week. You know, I don't want to. I think that the Dukas and us agree that it's better if we try to let the Spirit lead us, and it can look different. We don't have to set up an altar every single week and do the same thing. Worship can look different too. And certainly my hope is that we delve deeper into, as far as the worship goes, I feel like we play it a little too safe. And I don't know what it looks like otherwise, but I think we can take a little bit more risk. And the risk is it sounding a bit of a train wreck, but we've done that before. Trust me, we've had a lot of train wrecks on worship, you know. So, and no, Truman, it's not always my fault. I can see that head of yours working. So, today we're going to do it a little bit different. I'm going to teach for a little bit. And then we're going to bring up the Dukas, and we're going to bring up the Roths, and we have two chairs, so the men get to sit on those. Just kidding. And initially, what I felt like the Lord was telling me, and you're all going to love this, is that I'm supposed to talk about giving. Doesn't that sound like a fun topic for the very first time that I teach as the senior pastor? But sorry, that's what he gave me. Although it's not going to be, it's not necessarily about the tithe. That's not what the Lord is leaning on me to do. Because the greatest resource that you have is not your pocketbook, right? What is it? It's us. It's our very lives. That's what your greatest resource is that you have to offer. So I'm going to look at a couple of passages. You know, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time here. But firstly, you know, when I'm doing all this, one thing I want us to understand is that, you know, the Scripture is holy. The Scripture is our plumb line. But God's not necessarily completely contained in that, because there's way much more about God than can be contained in a book. But the constraints are on you and I to keep us safe and to keep us holy, to keep us righteous. And I think that that's one thing that I think Gail understood and Rich understands, is that studying and learning is so important. It's so important to study our Bibles, to study our Word. But I know for me, sometimes getting into the Word and doing Word studies, I get stuck. I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced that, but I try to do Word studies sometimes, and I get stuck in, and I don't know where to take it. And I got a little bit stuck on this topic of giving, but I'll explain it in a minute here. But in what I wrote here is God may not be contained by this Bible completely, but you and I are. And what I mean by that is we all have freedom, right? The Bible says that we have freedom. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean we have carte blanche? No. So true freedom isn't necessarily what you and I think. We are constrained by what the Bible tells us. We are in a sheep pen, as it were. And a sheep pen has walls. And you can try to jump over it, But did you ever, have you ever, do you know what happens when a shepherd catches a sheep outside of the wall? They get their legs broke, so they can't do it again. Because the shepherd knows that you're safe. You have complete freedom in this space, in the sheep pen where he is. Because he's your safety. He's our security. Outside of that, he cannot guarantee our safety. And so, just know this, we are working as a leadership team. We are going to be working under that, the constraints of what Scripture tells us. And with giving, it's the same thing. And I want to start off here with a little bit of an odd scripture. I'm not sure if this was ever been given on as a scripture for giving, but it's out of 1 Kings chapter 10. And while my technology is not, it's fighting me at the moment. Let me see here. Yeah. All right. Well, you want to fight me? Okay. I'm going to have to go from a different translation than the one I was going to read. Come on. Yeah. 1 Kings chapter 10. I usually use New King James. I can, that's fine. There we are. Okay. So, all right. Now, it says in verse 1, it says, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue of camels that bore spices, very much gold, precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing so difficult for the king that he couldn't explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, and the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, it was a true report, that which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are those that serve these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. And then she gave, and the queen of Sheba, by all accounts, was secular at the very least, and possibly even pagan. But I'm not quite sure of that. But she definitely did not believe that Yahweh was the God of, you know, was God. So then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And it lists a bunch of other stuff. I may need that again. What I want to bring out in that is King Solomon didn't need all that stuff from her, did he? King Jesus doesn't need all the stuff you have. What she gave because of who she is. The Queen of Sheba was the queen. She was nobility. She gave a gift that matched who she was. And so what I want to bring out for us is, are we giving the gifts to our King that match who we are? And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about your gold, your silver. I'm talking about the most precious resource that you have. And that is you. How much of that does God have for his glory and for his kingdom? How much have we given of ourselves to him? And I'm not just talking about, you know, giving our life to the Lord, but beyond that. Because quite honestly, that's the easy part. It's learning how to become his friend. Learning to come when he calls. I think it finally came up. So one of the things I want to ask is, who are you? Are you a sinner or are you a saint? Are you a slave or are you free? And who did that? So what kind of offering does he deserve? Not because of what he did for you, but because of who you are now. Because you're no longer a slave. So I looked up that word gave, like she gave, and it's called Natan, and it's Strong's 54:14. And I sometimes get lost in word studies because you look at a lexicon and it's like blah 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 blah. I mean, it can go on for pages. And then all of a sudden you got to the end of the page and it doesn't even have the reference that you're looking for, your address. So, you know, you just wasted half an hour looking for something that isn't there, that you didn't find. So then, you know, you look at a word like gave and it's like, oh, it means gave. Oh, that's helpful. That's really helpful. So Joyce Pettit, bless her heart, she gave me this book. And it's called In His Own Words. And it's a study of the Hebrew. Because I've always wondered, you know, if anybody's listened to one of her teachings, she'll take this word and then, you know, she'll spell it out in Hebrew. Because you can get the spelling of each Hebrew. Oh, you can, I'm sorry. She'll take a word and then she'll get the spelling for it in the Hebrew. And then she'll look up what the letters mean. Because I never knew this, but in the Hebrew, the letter actually has its own meaning. And then it also has a numerical value, which is crazy. So, yeah, it's wonderful. So, it's sort of, you know, and I don't want to get super, you know, religious and all about this, but because that Rich wouldn't, you know, and Gail, quite honestly, one time I was reading a book called My Father Abraham, and she's like, oh my God, put that down. Throw it away. That is full of religion. You know, and other people, they read different things, and she says, John, you don't need that. Throw it away. All you're going to do is wrap yourself up in religion. Huh? This is not. So it's a great study. I want to read something from it. Because, so, the three letters that consist of the word give, that spell that word, the first letter is be it. It's the second letter of their alphabet. You have Aleph, and then you have be it. And I'm probably messing up the name, the pronunciation of it, but it doesn't matter really. And that letter is the very first letter that opens up the entire Old Covenant. So in the beginning starts with the letter be it. And because they write from right to left, it looks like B, be it is sort of every other word is coming out of that. So the word of God is flowing from that second letter, from that be it, which is interesting to me. Because it even, in ways, it looks like a little mouth, because it's, this is the shape of it, like that. And then you got all the other letters in the beginning, God created, they all flow like that. And so that letter means the dwelling place. And that letter also represents Yeshua or Jesus. And the first letter represents God as a Father. And I could go, you could, you know, this word, this book explains it all. So I'm not going to go into that here. I can some other day. But that's not what this is about. I'm trying to explain this word other than just giving means give. Okay, I'm just trying to go a little bit deeper and give us maybe a little bit extra meaning in it. But I want to read a portion of this from chapter 2 of this. Explaining a little of this particular letter, because it's the most interesting letter in this three letters. Be it. And it says, according to the Jewish tradition, and according to the legend, the 22 letters of the alphabet are inscribed around God's crown. And when it came time to choose a letter with which to create the world, the letters leapt from God's crown to present themselves before him to vie for the honor. Each letter, beginning with Tav, argued its case, describing why its attributes made it the most appropriate letter for the privilege. When Be It finally stood before God's throne, it said, "Begin with me, because all creation will use me to bless you." God immediately accepted Be It and said, "You shall, or so shall the creation begin." And the Be It based its claim upon the fact that the Hebrew word for bless begins with Be It. And so that's their part of their, I don't know if it's their Tanakh or their oral, that's their oral writings or whatever they call it. That is, and so that is very interesting to me, that it's the blessing of the dwelling place. And so that's the first letter in give. The second letter in give was, it's C-H-E-T, I think it's pronounced Chet. Sorry, I just spat on the mic. And that letter, it simply represents abundant life. Okay? And then the third letter is the Vav, which is also a letter that spells Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. But what that letter represents is it's the and, A-N-D. What it does is it takes two things and combines them, brings them together, such as God and me, or the spirit and the flesh. So it has the and part of it. So in looking at that, to me, that word being more than give, it's the blessing of abundant life for giving. And that's not, I don't believe by any stretch that is the reason we give, but that is an outcome of giving, is we are blessed by the dwelling place, in the dwelling place, with abundance and with abundant life. And that to me goes deeper in the word give. And there is more revelation in there. I'm positive of that. I just don't have it for you today. So I got one more scripture that I want to bring up, and it's Proverbs 14, verse 4. And it says, "Where no oxen are, the trough is clean." It's nice to have a clean trough, isn't it? But if you want the increase, if you want increase, you got to deal with a little mess. Because it says, but much increase comes from the strength of an ox. So that tells me that we have got to get our shovels out. And we have to work. Because there's an ox in the house. In fact, there's more than one. And so, you know, we've got to be ready for mess. And you know what? Some of it, we have to create a little bit of a mess. And because we cannot stay in the place of doing nothing. We have to be that oxen that has the strength to plow the ground. Because the ground needs more plowing. The ground needs more work. The house needs more work. And the house needs more workers because there's a harvest out there. And so what the message on giving this morning is about the page turning for us. And it's about calling to the wall everyone. All the teachers, all the evangelists, all the musicians, all the artists, everyone has a job in the city. Everyone has a job on the wall. And all of us are responsible, not me, not Evan, not Sarah Kirsten, but everybody. Not just Rich. It's the one man show is over. You know? And we're all in this together. So put on your teaching caps. Put on your artist caps. Get the broom out. Get the shovel out. Because it's time for us. Because we're praying for the harvest to come here. We have been. But perhaps it's that our hearts haven't been ready. We're fat with teaching and we're fat with the word. And now we have to do it. We've got to get working the works of God. That's giving. That's the giving of the prince and the princess. That's the giving of nobility. It's giving of your life. Because he gave his life and now it's our turn. Giving our lives means, it does not mean actually coming and sitting in the pew. It means going to work with him. And not just work, but working to build the house of God. By any and all means necessary. That's right. In here. And when we all come together, the in here is out here. So with that, I want to bring up the Dukai. I told you that was going to come back. And my wife. So what we want to do now is have... a lot of you know me and Sarah. Some may not. But what we want to do is give a place to tell everybody who we are. And we want to hear what you feel like the Lord's saying to this body as well. So we're leaving a little extra time here to really delve into this a little bit more. Because we want to move forward, all of us, 100%. With 100%, everybody doing 100% that they can do. Amen.
Did you get two more chairs or just pull it down?
I don't know where the other two chairs are.
Checking the mic. It's good? Yeah.
There's one right here. All right.
Okay. We have three chairs, four people.
That's all right, I'll stand.
Maybe the one talking will stand.
Okay. I'll sit then.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm tired.
This is that messiness in the with the trough. Okay.
What?
We'll figure it out eventually. Okay, so I was really excited about an opportunity to kind of share who we are, where we're coming from, and just be able to kind of talk together with all of us. So, because the church is not the pastor. The pastor may be the face of a church to some people, but and in some cases, the pastor may be the reason why people go to that specific church. But I'm so glad to see you all here, because to me that means that it's not about Rich. You know, because Rich has been moving on. He needs to do what God's called him to do. But this, to me, is very much a fulfillment. And everything that goes forth from here is going to be a fulfillment of what he and Gail have done in this yes. place. And for me, I don't particularly like attention. But, and I feel like very much as becoming a pastor and stepping into that kind of a role, to me, that's as in the heavens, he who's greatest becomes the least. And to me, in this congregation, by becoming a pastor, to me, that becomes, to me, that's becoming the least of among all of us here. Because when we first started coming here, we've only been, Evan and I have only been coming here for about 2 years or so. And there have been people who've been coming here for 16 some odd years. And I just feel like we are so very much in many ways the least of you all. This is a church full of spiritual giants. And I don't think most of you know that. I don't think most of us realize exactly who we are and where we're going. And I know Rich spoke into a lot of who we are and where we're, who we are in Christ. And I just, my heart is to see that come into fruition and to start acting on that. And to start, as John was saying about giving of ourselves, I think part of that, God's been showing me that part of that is how we live our lives, what we do. It's not, yes, it is submitting to God, but it's in that submission, how do we live? And where do we go from there? So, and I guess real quickly, just to kind of, because I know a lot of, I don't know a lot of you very well, and I'm sure probably most of you don't know me very well either, so I wanted to kind of just give you just a very quick background. I was born and raised in Arvada, went to Arvada West High School. My dad's in the back. My mom usually comes as well, but she's on her way back from New Mexico. I lived in New York for about 9 years, went out there for school. I was a theater major, wasn't very good at it. it wasn't what God made me. God didn't make me an actor. That wasn't my calling, but I had to learn that the hard way, which is a very long story. But in that process, I met Evan. I was working for a church in New York. I worked there for about 3 years, helping to run the services and some things like that, and then worked for another 6 years after that just as a graphic designer. I work currently as a graphic designer. We have a 8-year-old girl. I have to think about that. She's getting older. But Evan and I met when I was working at the church in New York, and we had Hannah, and came back here, moved back here about 9 years ago, I guess. Yeah, 9 years ago. So, yeah.
There's so much more to you than that. Okay. You sit. I love that she's my wife, because I was actually going to say something very similar about, they that want to become the greatest should be the least. I was just like picturing Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and it just reminded me that, if you're if anyone's expecting the typical, the pastoral leadership show and, whatever, then, I think we all agree that we have bad news for you, because it's not going to be like that. So to me, it's just the whole goal I think Doris, you know, her vision explained it really well. It's just we are coming to into an age of more of the generic army, and he loves it like that because, like, sure, like, you know, there are those who have been generals and we honor them and still are, but really the job of a general is to really pick, you know, pick other people up and bring them up. It's not about, like, you know, lordship and top down type stuff. It's a bottom up kingdom, and I just love that. So that's just, you know, that's really what's been on my heart. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if I should go into me like at all, but yeah, yeah. So I just love this stuff. I just love the kingdom. Like I've explained before, I'm in so like way over my head. But about a year and a half ago, after 15 years of a Christian life, and what I would say is just a nominal thing, where like I was just a good-hearted man. I loved God. I wanted to do the right thing, but he just took me and just captured my heart like never before, and he just showed me what it is to be a son. And that just changed. I mean, it just changed everything. And much of it is beyond any words can really describe. But it got to the point where I just realized that I never really fully speaking of what John has been talking about, really given myself 100% to him. It was always more of an incorporation. Like I'm, you know, like yeah, like I believe in him. I want. But it's like I never really fully surrendered my rights, surrendered my dreams and my hopes and aspirations, and I said, "Let them become yours, Lord, or nothing." Like it's completely His. So that happened about a year and a half ago. But you know, like the Lord has been good to me all my life, obviously, and the past 15 years, it's just been an amazing process of just getting to know this amazing, mysterious yet majestic and yet accessible God. And so like, you know, people have asked me like, so when did the thing come, brother? You know, when did you get struck by the lightning? When did the, you know, when did it all come? And like I have to say, like I probably have the most boring testimony out there. However, like he will use the boring stuff because there's so many people who also say, well, you know what, I wasn't the drug addict on the street, you know, who the Lord just struck, whatever, and I'm like on the floor, my life changed. You know, there are many people who are a little more like normal or you know whatever that means in their stories, and so I can now speak into that because he's making me less and less normal, I guess, because he's just exciting the heck out. Like, and it's just every day is exciting. I just feel like a kid in a candy shop. The kingdom's amazing, and it's just like the door is open for us to run. You know, it's a race, and it's just this time where the kingdom is going to be, it's going to suffer, like, you know, violence, like people who are ready to just take it and run with it. I just feel like that guy who just wants to run. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm running. And he knows what he's doing, and he's doing it in me. So real fast, I just wanted to, so yeah, that's me in a nutshell, honestly. But yeah, so real fast, I just want to explain a few things that that he put on our hearts, and forgive me, guys, if I take up like a few extra minutes. But yeah, so God's good; He's doing amazing things. John and I have agreed on so many things, and all four of us had agreed on so many things. I just say that because you and I had a meeting this week to talk about this stuff. But I would say, and I'm sure you'll follow up on that. But I know people a lot of times look for a very specific vision, okay? And I think that right now, at least, whatever, and it could be for good, it could be for a month, it could, you know, whatever. But right now is very, it's just very general. And like, you know, what if, like, we are those obnoxious people who are just like, our vision is just Jesus, whatever. And the people who you know, you might roll your eyes at, like, just fall in love with Jesus, pursue him, and all the rest will follow. Actually, that sounds like a scripture I know. So, you know, I know all the sayings, I know all the stuff, you know, without a vision, the people perish, and all that other stuff, whatever. But what if that's kind of taken out of context sometimes, whatever? Like, and it doesn't have to mean, okay, we have one very specific closed vision where we have, like, business men from 40 to 55 with this age, you know, with this money bracket. What if it is very, you know, broad for now, and we're just pursuing him, and we're just really, like, furthering this kingdom together. Makes sense? So like, you know, without a vision, the people perish, but we have a vision. We have a vision that's Jesus. You know, we're not people who you know, don't know what we're living for and where we're headed. Okay, so with that said, though, what I can do is share a few things that you know, as one of the leaders that God has put on my heart, and I think that the rest of the three really share this as well. This one's very personal to me, which is just back to the basics. So I love going deep into deep revelation, and I always want to do that. At the same time, like always staying basic as well and very simple, because it's also a very, like a very simple message of the gospel, yet so deep. So just personally, I always want to teach and share on the gospel, on value, on identity, and destiny, because these things are the foundation. Jesus and the gospel is a foundation to me. And when I was telling John, like, you know, and we were agreeing, like, we could put on a spiritual circus in this place. It could be like just the craziest thing you've ever seen, but yet, you know, if we don't have love, we don't have anything, right? It's left for nothing. That sounds like a scripture I know as well. So you know, just to never forsake just the simple things like love, integrity, character, the basic fruits of the Spirit, where people, like, you know, we're expecting new people, and as they walk in, what would really, like, excite me is they see a body of people, no matter how big, that just love each other, that just love. Like, we love the Lord, number one, and the second is kind of just like it, to love each other. Basic stuff, okay? Okay, then number two is just fluidity, which I call just continuing a connection between churches. It's time to break through the brother and sister rivalry of churches and regions. It's just ridiculous what we do sometimes. I'm not saying this body does it. Gail and Rich have always done an amazing job at this, you know, at just staying connected. All the more. I want to continue that. And I definitely plan on having lunches and you know, going to different churches to connect and things like that, because we're all in this together. We're all part of the kingdom. And I've seen it on a small scale in a small region where the churches just literally work together. Like, my house is your house, your people, my people. Let's be resources to each other. And it's beautiful. It's so powerful. Like, right? We're called to be one. So we're going to, like, continue to do that and to continue to develop strategic alliances, local ministries. Okay, number three, real fast, I'm sorry. Maintaining community and contribution and involvement within our church family. Like John said, I'm so excited about tapping into the resources that is you. You guys are amazing. And as she said as well, you're wonderful and you're a resource all on your own. Like, you know, we definitely want to hear from a lot of you and, you know, your teaching and what you share. We all have gifts. Some of them look like ta-da, and some of them look very more simple, yet, you know, we know that all of them are important, you know. So people might be able to do technical things, and some people might be able to do artistic things. They're all welcome, and we really want to come behind you and support that and push that forward. And then equipping to continue the vision of equipping and empowering. You know, that's what I think we all agree Rich did for us big time, was just to create this atmosphere of equipping and empowering us and getting behind us in our gifts. So we're going to continue that. Very important to us. And then very personally, last but not least, prophetic evangelism. Just like really beginning to get out of the four walls. And I'm looking at Sherry because you're so in that. Babe, you're like all about it. It's good. So, like, you know, just pushing out in the four walls and really marrying the two of the prophetic, of translating and bringing down God's heart, and also just sharing that with people, right? So, yay.
Okay, I'm going to stay sitting just because I don't want to get up. Most of you know me. If you don't, my accent is from the UK. I was born and raised there. My family were Christians, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was about 8. I moved over here to the States when I was 19 with Youth With a Mission. I came over by myself, and originally I planned to only stay 6 months, and, you know, 20-some years later, I'm still here. God had other plans, so I was with Youth With a Mission for a while, and I started attending a Vineyard Church, Vineyard Northwest, up in Westminster. That's where John and I met, and we knew Pete and Deb from those days, too. Eventually, I left Youth With a Mission and worked for the church for a while. I was on staff with them. It was during that time we met Rich and Gail. They were doing a couple of School of the Spirits up at the Doubletree Hotel and other places. And so we had met them, and then while I was on staff with Vineyard, you know, their names would come across, and I knew who they were, but we didn't interact a whole lot. And our church was kind of going through a... John and I, we weren't married at this time at all. We were possibly... I think we were dating. But our church started going through some hard times, and almost like, I don't know if it was a church split, but it just kind of blew up. Let's just say it that way. And some friends invited us to go over to Rich and Gail's one Saturday night. So we went, walked in Golden, and this was about 17, 18 years ago. Walked in and stayed for the service, and they had a, did they have live worship or a tape recorder? They had a tape recorder doing worship. And I was chatting with Gail afterwards, and they were putting on a worship conference, and I was like, oh, John would love to do that. He plays guitar. And she's like, oh, I need to talk to him. And John could tell you the rest of the story, but that's how he became worship leader 17 years ago, and we haven't left. I mean, we're still here. And, you know, what we just loved what Rich and Gail had. I was always nervous of the prophetic. I don't know why. I think it was just the thought of somebody else seeing inside me. It was like, you know, that's kind of weird. But you know, Rich and Gail, it's not scary at all. It's God, and it's good. And I learned to love it and go through a lot of the prophetic classes. And we just love Rich and Gail and their desire to really see people equipped and set free and find their gifts and callings. And that's, you know, we have the same heart and vision. And we always thought we would be on staff with Rich and Gail. That was kind of always our intention and our desire. And then when Gail passed, we adopted our little boy Noah at the same time. And she never got to meet him because we were in Florida. But we just kind of laid everything aside for a while, especially as new parents. We focused on rearing our son, and you know, we weren't sure what the future was. And but we knew we were supposed to be here. That's the one thing. Anyway, it was bittersweet for us when Rich approached us about moving to Israel. Because we're like, yeah, we want to be a part of Living Word, but we always thought we'd be doing it with Rich, and not just on our own. And that's the other part. We were like, well, we don't want to do it on our own. We do not believe in, you know, we want a team. And that's just who John and I are. You know, John wanted a worship team. We love having a home group dinner at our house because we want people over. And we're just really big. That's just who we are. It's team mentality. And we talk about that with Noah. It's like, go team Roth. It's the three of us. We're a team. And he'll talk about that too. We are a team, the three of us, and that's what we love, and that's what we're passionate about. I'm an introvert. I don't like being in front of the mic, but I love people, and so it's challenging for me. It's like, I love to have people at my house. I love to open up my home. I love community, but I don't always have a lot of words to say, and which is just, it's been a hard road for me to reconcile that, I guess, and be comfortable in my own skin, being okay with the fact that I may only have a few words, but I do want connection, and I do love being with people. The other thing for me is I'm the administrator of the group, which I'm the practical one, which, and sometimes is hard because I'm like, why do I have to always come up with the, you know, not necessarily the negatives, but it's like the practical steps, you know. But as Rich prophesied over me last week, you know, the gift of administration is a gift. And it is needed and welcome, and I will continue to embrace it because it's how God made me. It's what I'm good at. So I also have big vision. That's one thing I loved about Gail. She had a big vision. It was massive. And we still have that same massive vision. And we feel like we want to, you know, we want to complete or continue on what Rich and Gail have started. The nonprofit that we have is massive. There is hospitals on it, and there can be. And I want to see that fulfilled. I feel like there's a lot that we can do. And we may be a small group of people, but we're powerful. And you guys are amazing. And each of you have so many things, gifts and callings that to offer, and we can do a lot. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God's going to do with and through each of us. You know, John, told me he was going to speak about giving, and I didn't know all the details. And he talked about, you know, give according to who you are. And one thing I'm actually passionate about is financial giving. I want us to be a body that gives. I want to give more than we need for our building and for our needs here. I want to give more. I want to support missionaries. I want to support orphanages. I mean, that's my heart. My heart is giving. You know, we're children of God. We're princesses. So let's give financially like a princess and a prince. So that's a big part of who I am. Along with the practical, I'll be looking at the budget, you know, and working out those things so that we can give more. That's how John and I want to live our lives too. We want to be able to live off less so we can give more and bless others, because we want to give. It's fun to give. I think that's pretty much all about me. I do work full time. I work down in the Denver Tech Center. I would like that to change at some point, so you can pray for that. But for now, that's what I do. And then we have our 5-year-old son who is all boy and a complete handful, but we love him. And we're just excited. We're excited to see what God has for all of us, and just as a team. And we love you guys. That's the easy part for us, is we love you guys. And and that's what makes this easy and fun. It's not something that is hard, because we love you, and I'm excited to see. We are a team, that's right. So we just really love and appreciate each of you, and as we move forward, definitely want to connect more with you personally and hear from you guys as well.
Yay. All right. So, and I don't need to go into great detail either about me. You know, I've been doing the worship here, for leading the worship for 17 years. And, you know, that first Saturday night where I had to lead worship was pretty scary.
Sarcasm.
I mean, I don't think, yeah, that is sarcasm.
At its finest.
And, you know, it was probably, you know, I came out of the vineyard, so I sang all vineyard songs, and it was like 7 songs in 30 minutes, you know, and because I didn't know what prophetic worship was. Nobody around here was doing it, so I didn't have anything to measure that against. And Gail helped me. Gail and Rich helped pull that out of me. And in turn, we are going to do that with everyone here, because the vision is big. You know, the vision may be broad right now, and like Evan said, it may not always stay that way, but it's Rich and Gail's vision was pretty darn broad, because they felt in their heart there was a lot of things that God wanted them to accomplish. And when I say them, what I really mean is we. Because it's not about a them. Even though they're the ones that gave the vision, it's about a we. And that's what the giving is about. It's about a we. And so moving forward, we have a big vision. You and you and you and everyone here, you have a part in that to play. Not just to say, but to play. So get plugged in and play. Because that's what we want. That's I believe that's more like what the book of Acts was about. It was about everyone building, not just the 12. So with that, I don't think there's anything else to say. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Anyone?
And please, yeah, like, because we were planning on just really opening this up. Let it be like a town hall, you know, let it be like a family meeting, whatever. Like, any comments, questions, individually, all together, anything about anything that's on your heart, please just, we'd love to just have a fun little family discussion.
You're not in this alone. We're all together.
Amen.
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 Love you, Deb.
Oh, I don't need the microphone. Kind of a loud guy. So there's been a couple of things that I've just really felt like I have to stand up and talk about to truly add on to what Evan and John have been talking about. You know, Rich, they came, they started this whole thing, just like what Jesus did, right? Mm-hmm. He came, he started it, he started the disciples, but he had to leave, and they had to carry on the work, right? So it's the exact same thing, right? Exact same thing.
That's good.
And then with Evan, you know, you brought up something earlier about, you know, your journey, how you were trying to incorporate God into your life. And the true message is how do we incorporate our lives into his life?
Yes.
Because ultimately that's what it's about, right? Yeah.
That is. That's
those
good.
Those are the two big messages that I felt like that I really received this morning that had to be shared with everyone here. Because this is a natural progression. And it's exactly like we've been taught. It's exactly like the stories in the Bible. It's exactly how God's work is done. Exact same thing. You know, and it's different. And is it challenging? Is it crazy? Is there lots of stuff that's going to happen in between now and then? Yes, lots of things happened after Jesus left, right? And after he rose. People dispersed. People went all over the place. The word was shared, and look at where we are today.
Yeah.
But it truly is continuing that work, which God bless you all, you know, for doing that and having that willingness and that drive within you. But exactly like you said, Evan, yeah, it's not how do I incorporate God into my life now. It's how do I incorporate my life into God's life. And with your Queen of Sheba reference, right? All the money and the
gold and everything.
Gold, just all the stuff that they brought. You know, that's kind of what we look at and we focus on. But what we don't think about is all the work involved to collect all that stuff, to put them on the camels, to take the trip from where she lived all the way to where King Solomon was. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of activity that went on that was a part of that giving. And I think that's sometimes the piece that we
That's make, good.
Right? So I wanted to make sure I stood up because it was one of those things.
Where love it, brother. Yeah. Love it. And, what, you know, what was your name again?
I'm Joe Romero. Sorry about that. I'm actually Cynthia's son. And
no, and I've met you like five times. We're just bad at names. So Joe, okay. Yeah, Joe and okay.
So
good, man.
Great, great word.
Thank you, Joe. That's so good.
Did you have a word?
I just want to say that I really appreciate what you all are saying and how. I agree, you know, with your vision so far with what you want it, where you want this place to go and use people's talents and give people, and it's not just a one-man show. So, you know, you have my yay on that. Anyway, whatever that's worth. Thank you. And I just appreciate your leadership. Appreciate you continuing what's going on here. And I, you know, maybe in time, I don't know, maybe not, but maybe it'll always be general. But I, you know, but it's good. That you're open to hear whatever God wants to do. So, yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
I think we all kind of have agreed that we just want to hold what God is doing here with an open hand. You know, it's not, we're not, none of this is about control. None of it's about anything except for just opening up our hand as an offering to God, and he can do whatever he needs to do through us. And it may be kind of messy at times, and especially as we all learn and take baby steps in walking as sons of God, as kings and queens under Yeshua, it may be kind of messy, but that's where we're at.
And I really want to quickly, like, really honor John and Sarah. It's really a privilege for us to get behind you guys and support you guys. Because in that, in case anyone was still wondering if you know, we really meant what we said, like, against the control, man. Like, I have not met two people that are, like you know, more, just amazingly open to the Lord and just so not controlling. They're just like, whatever. Like, you know, we want the Lord to do what he does, and it's just good with me. And I just love that about you guys. So, and just, yeah, that's awesome.
I do want to keep it simple. And the first thing I hear is, yay, God. Because it is all about him. I think... To me, the personal trials that we have is to keep ourself under, down. And the scripture verse that comes to mind is, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And I pray that your visions that you've shared will come to pass. I think there's lots of hurting people from the church trying to make it theirs. The church belongs to God. And He wants us to all know that we are His precious child, each and every single one. And the gifts and the talents that He's given us, that we want to give them so completely to Him and never let it be about the gift, but always about how awesome is our God. One of the things I've noticed as we get into numbers, my favorite number is 3. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. And I would love it if we threw out numbers and we just saw the importance of loving and encouraging and really not wanting it to be a performance and about titles or what you think of me, but just to love one another. We've been through a really hard journey, and now as I look back, I am so grateful. I happen to like a small church. I think it's intimate. But if He wants to bring the numbers, that we keep it all about Him and never the numbers.
When I was working for the church in New York, one of my jobs every Sunday was to count the number of people that were in each service. And one of the reasons why churches will do this is because you have to know it for CCLI documentation and certain other legal things in terms so it's necessary to some extent on an occasion, but the pastor that I worked under at the time was all about the numbers. And that's where he's at, no judgment on him, but I continued to do that out of habit as I left there and we helped with a planted church in Highlands Ranch area, and I would continue to count numbers every week, and we'd need to know for documentation. But when I came here to visit, I did the same thing, and the Lord reprimanded me. He said, stop it. It is not about the numbers. It is about the army does not have to be big. Gabriel, God took the army down and down and down and down and down. Who was it? Gideon. Sorry. I'm good with names. Gideon, his army was reduced and reduced and reduced and reduced until it was absolutely apparent that God was the one doing it, not us. God's the one that's going to do this, not us. And that's not to say that a church of 10,000 people isn't doing God's work, because there are some amazing churches that God is moving through. So it doesn't matter if it's big or small. It's not about the numbers. It's about Him. It's about what He's doing and how He's working through us.
You know, Bill Johnson has a quote that's kind of my quote, and that he said, I don't want to build a big church, I want to build big people. And that's really, he has a massive church now, and God's grown it, but that's kind of just the core of who we are. And that's really who Rich and Gail were too. We want to build big people. We want to see you guys walking in your full calling, and that's the focus.
I've been here for quite a while.
Longer than me.
A little bit longer than you. But one of the things that I think is going on and I've sat here listening to everything that's been said. I think God is setting a line for us. We have sat under Rich and Gail, and then Rich, for such a long time, we came to depend upon him rather than upon doing what we felt or what we saw needed to be done. And I think God had a different job for Rich, and he decided that it was time to move Rich to take our dependency on him away and to tell us now, you've been trained. I've trained you. I've filled you. You have everything that I could put into you. Now it's time for you to stop depending upon others, but depend upon yourself. It's time for you to start stepping out and doing what I've called you to do. Rather than just set, it's time for action. It's time for you to do what I've called you to do. And you know, this comes up, has come up several different times, and each time it got a start, and each time it went a little ways, and then we seemed to fall back on Rich and waiting for Rich to tell us what to do and how to do it. I think it's just time for us now to do what we're called to do. It sounds like I'm being repetitive, and I'm trying to get the point across that there is so much in this fellowship. Rich and Gail put so much into each one of us, and it's time for what they filled us with to come out and start doing the work that God intended it to be done.
Wow. He's pretty good behind the mic. He'll probably be using that again.
So good, Truman. Thanks.
Anybody else have anything?
Got a quick bit of input while you guys are brewing. But also just wanted to say that I really look forward to continuing to honor and bring out the prophetic. Yet, I also feel like this is a great time to begin to focus on the whole new man and really go into, like, just beyond just the prophetic, but all the things that Paul gave those offices, or Paul was saying, like, you know, and he gave some to be this, some to be that, and he spells everything out. The rest of that scripture, the purpose of these things is to bring us into the unity of the faith and into the mature man, into the maturity of the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. So I really look forward to continuing that, but also to really celebrate and bring out and all the gifts, like all the gifts, and really to recognize them as we see them, so we can be that much more complete and not just the, oh yeah, you're that prophetic church, right?
Right.
That makes sense to you guys?
Yep. So we're going to close, but the Lord gave me a word just now a little bit ago, and Scripture tells us that we're kings and priests, and the Lord says that there isn't a nameless, faceless army now. There are names, there are faces, because you have to put a name and a face to a king. You have to put a name and a face to a queen. You have to put a name and a face to a priest. And this is who we are. And so we are an army of names and faces. That doesn't mean any one name is better than any other name, or any one face is better than any other face. But we are an army of faces and names. And that's important, because that tells us that each of us in our own right has an importance in the army. And so we are going to move forward, missing Rich and all he's done for us, but it's time for us to pop our heads up, you know, as his analogy was a bird, but, or sort of, I guess I heard that because he was always talking about eagles. But we all have to start to fly ourselves. We're no longer eaglets, we're eagles. We're eagles, and we need to go higher. We need to trust more. And I'm praying that the Lord would bring out discernment in all of us, for all of us, so that we can begin to really call out each other's gifts, so that we can all become activated in our gifts. And so I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for the spirit of discernment on this house, that we would be able to call out the gifts and callings of one another, that we would no longer be stuck without a doubt, without hope, that we would have everything that we need because you've already given it to us. You've already given us everything we need for life, for everything. And so, Lord, call those things out. Call them out now. Call them out now. I'm reminded of a story that Rich gave last week about Dave, our drummer. And he was just sitting, not doing anything. Somebody came up to Rich and said, "Hey, that guy's a drummer." Lord, I pray that that gift would be resident in everyone, that we would be able to call out the true gifts and the true callings of one another, God, and we would be able to come to a place where we're blessing one another, that body ministry happens by the body, to the body, from the body, not by just the four of us, or not just for, you know, the Wicks, because Rich would always call up a certain few people. But Lord, we thank you, God, that we are all called to minister to one another because we all have the same ministering gifts, because we all have the same Lord. And we don't need a mantle. We have Jesus. And He's our mantle. He's covered us. So the old covenant prophets needed mantles. New covenant people need Jesus. We have you, Lord. Be our covering. And we thank you for the covering of wisdom upon us, the covering of your life upon us, and the covering of wise people. We thank you for Papa Rich, that he still covers us from Israel, that we still can go to him, and that we still have others that we can go to for wise counsel, because we desire wise counsel. We desire to know what wisdom would do in any given situation. And so we pray, God, for that wisdom and discernment and all the other gifts that bring out all of our gifts. In the name of Jesus. Anybody want to add? Amen. So next week we start ministering to one another. Music, maestro.